Although we're unlikely to come into contact with a liar on the scale of Bernie Madoff, chances are we're being lied to regularly by salespeople, colleagues, and even friends and family. In fact, researchers have found that we hear an average of 25 to 200 lies every day. Can you tell if someone is deceiving you? Well, in her book, Lie Spotting, Proven Techniques to Detect Deception, Pamela Meyer describes how to recognize the clues that tell you when someone is fibbing. It's published by St. Martin's Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Ms. Meyer to our show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Is lying an innate impulse, do you think?
I think we're born liars.
Children start to lie very early?
They start to lie very, very early. When you think about it, deception really has evolutionary value to us as a species. The caveman, if he had told another caveman where his cave was, he would have lost his woman, he would have lost his food. We know that species, the more deceptive they are, oftentimes it's an indicator of intelligence. And we start very young. At 6 months old, a baby will fake a cry, wait for their caregiver to come, go back to crying.
So they're lying even before they have been told that it's wrong to lie.
Exactly. It's very interesting. I came across one study when I was putting the book together where three-year-olds were told to go into a room, not peek at a particular toy, and of course most of them peeked. When the researchers asked them, did you peek, only 38% admitted it at 3 years old. They repeat the story. They repeat the entire experiment at 5 years old. Guess what? They all confess. None of them confess, and they all peeked.
Uh-huh.
So you learn to adapt pretty quickly to the world.
Is there a type of person who's least likely to lie?
Well, we know – well, we are all liars. Everybody lies. We lie almost reflexively.
Even people who consider themselves totally moral people.
Correct. Lots of studies.
Which is probably self-deception.
Exactly. Well, self-deception, of course, is where it always starts. But in lots of studies, people who were reporting that they were being very, very honest, when they would then look at a video of themselves in conversation, it turned out that they were lying. So we lie quite reflexively. But it does turn out that extroverts are better liars than introverts, and they persist much longer at it.
Are other animal species also dishonest?
Well, remember Coco, the signing gorilla, the one who was taught sign language? Coco once blamed her pet kitten for ripping a sink out of the wall. So the more intelligent the species, certainly, the more deceptive it is.
Who are we most likely to lie to, our spouse, a coworker, or a stranger?
Well, it turns out that, for example, married people lie less to each other than people in romantic relationships, but they will save the big whoppers for their spouse. And it turns out that we lie much less to coworkers than we do to strangers. And there's a reason for that. We have a reputation to protect. And so in the same way that people will not put a lie into email, but they might lie to you in person, they're not going to go on record. And so they don't go on record with coworkers, and they don't go on record with their spouses.
Because you have to live with that lie
exactly.
The rest of the time you know that person.
Exactly.
So we're least likely to put it in writing, but we would lie on the telephone or face-to-face.
We do lie almost twice as much on the phone than we do on email. But the data is a bit counterintuitive. I still recommend that you spend much more time face-to-face, because when you train people in lie detection, what you're really training them to do is to understand the science of how to detect somebody in person, how to look at their verbal cues, their nonverbal cues, their body language, et cetera.
Should I assume that men and women lie equally but not in the same ways?
They lie in very different ways. We could never say that men lie more, women lie more. We all lie. But men, it turns out, tell almost 8 times more lies about themselves than they do other people.
Especially if they're politicians and they want to say that they served in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, John Edwards, Mark Sanford, Blagojevich, I mean, every day, as we say, fraud and lying is a growth business. We see this every day. Women lie more to protect other people. Men lie more about themselves.
So are women more likely to tell the lie that is intended to make someone feel better? I love that tie.
We all tell what are called sort of false positive lies. Oh, yes, I really liked her too. But women do tell more lies to protect other people. We all tell lies to avoid conflict. Men will tend to bolster their status or their power, although I think women encourage that on some unconscious level.
Would you call withholding information a lie?
Yes. Omission of facts is, particularly when it's going to harm another person who has an important decision to make, is very much deception.
But isn't that something that we often do because, well, first of all, we want to protect ourselves or we want to protect the other person. We don't usually do that out of any desire to hurt.
Well, white lies, of course, always maintain some form of social graces and social structure. And omitting information in that situation is not harmful. But negotiators, when they withhold information that could materially affect the conclusion of a deal, for example, that's harmful.
There is also a lot of nuance. Sometimes we give an answer we know the other person would like to hear because we're unclear as to how we feel about the matter, or it's too complicated and not important enough to go into.
Well, that's right. We also, sometimes we just avoid conflict and we just lie because it's easier. I actually encourage people to learn the basic method, the five-step method in my book for getting to the truth, because what I find is that when you learn to go beyond lie spotting and you become a truth seeker, you also end up learning how to have very complicated and very important conversations during difficult times. And I think that's very important for managers in particular to do.
My guest is Pamela Meyer, who's written a book called Lie Spotting, Proven Techniques to Detect Deception. It's published by St. Martin's Press. So how hard is it, since we've gotten to this point, is it to tell if someone is lying? Are certain people better than others at detecting them?
Well, if you're trained in the science of lie detection, you can increase your ability to detect lies substantially. But what I tell people is that the most important thing when you're training someone on detecting lies, the most important thing is understanding where are the red flags for asking harder questions. You can never, no one's ever interested in being that nitpicky kid in the back of the room who's saying, oh, gotcha, your eyebrow twitched, which is what Lie to Me, the TV show, which I love and I think is a substantial and wonderful show, is teaching much of America to do. What I think
those nonverbal telltale signs.
Yes. Your eyebrow twitched or your body froze. All of that is extremely important, and I can take you through some of those tips. But they are not proof that someone is lying. They are red flags that it's time to interrogate, ask more questions, get more information, make sure that you're actually confirming and not accusing somebody wrongly.
One of the ways that I've always thought it's easy to spot a lie is if there's too much detail in the story.
That's exactly right. That's why you're a good interviewer. Interrogators know that. They know that someone who's being deceptive will often pepper their story with inappropriate detail in all the wrong places. And then when it gets to the main event, oops, someone jumped right over it.
So they do that because they think that if they keep on adding details, it'll sound like they really had the experience? They really did the thing?
They're adding the appearance of authenticity. They'll also look you in the eyes a little bit too much because people think that if you're lying, that they won't look somebody in the eye. But that's a myth. When you're telling the truth, you actually look somebody in the eye about 60% of the time because that's what's comfortable.
So what kind of follow-up questions can help you get to the truth if you think somebody's lying?
If you think someone's lying, what you need to do is ask them very, very open-ended questions at the beginning. Get them to talk as much as you possibly can. You don't want to pretend you're on the TV show Law and Order. That's the last thing you want to do. It's a develop rapport, have a conversation, gather information, and then confirm it in many, many different ways throughout the conversation. Structure your language in such a way that someone's not defensive. Don't ask somebody, why did you do it? When you ask the question why, you always put someone in the defensive.
You do a gotcha.
Exactly. Gotcha never works.
Because then they're just going to clam up?
They're going to clam up. Sometimes you can do it just to test someone's reaction, because if someone feels that they've been wrongly accused and they're actually being truthful, they will be incredibly angry. They will look you right in the eyes. They'll be incredibly angry at you.
So what got you thinking about this as a topic for a book? Are you good at detecting lies, or are you a good liar?
I came across this incredibly robust field of deception detection almost accidentally. I was at a reunion for Harvard Business School, and a professor went through his research on what people do when they're being deceptive, what they do with their bodies, their eyebrows, their purses, their backpacks. And I turned around and I watched an entire room of 350 seasoned executives riveted and quiet and listening. And I realized for the first time that this was incredibly rich information that had been housed in the intelligence world and housed in law enforcement and never been brought to business people and to real people.
Well, I would think someone in the personnel department would want to be pretty good at this. So well, should we hire former CIA? No, not former CIA agents. They do waterboarding. Former FBI agents?
In the HR world, there is a lot of training in interviewing, and we have found that it's quite effective. There was one study where hiring managers who had been trained versus those who had not been trained uncovered 60% more criminal convictions in job applicants, 80% more cases of alcohol abuse, 30% more job dismissals that they never would have uncovered had they not been trained.
Well, it seems to me that the resume is a place where a lot of people lie. In fact, I have often, when I was young, I was told, okay, so you were the messenger boy and you did a lot of work for the president. Say assistant to the president.
That's a big no-no.
Really?
Yes.
Got me the job. The alternative was, well, you're really inexperienced.
Well, that was back in the days when resumes didn't show up on Google Archives.
True.
So you have to be very, very careful now. It doesn't pay to embellish your resume in any way.
But can you spot them? I mean, right now, college professors are on the lookout, as we've been reading in the New York Times, for plagiarism, and it's rampant. I guess it's always been rampant, but with the internet, it's a lot easier to plagiarize.
It is a lot easier. The number of digital platforms out there for fabricating false information, false identities, they've really created a whole epidemic of deception.
Isn't there an organization, a company called CareerExcuse.com?
There are a number of organizations out there. There's also the Alibi Network. And you can just ring them up, give them $100, and they'll create an entirely false profile for you. So if you want to go off to Vegas and tell your wife that, for example, you were at a conference, they'll create a conference for you.
Is that legal? How can you defend yourself against that?
I don't think it's legal, and I don't think it's a particularly wise thing to do, but apparently it's quite a good business.
Well, the alternative, of course, is to give everyone a lie detector test, and some companies actually give lie detector tests. Do they work?
Some companies do. Polygraphs, for example, are not particularly effective. They're great props. Most people who are under a polygraph, when they know they're being analyzed for lie detection, will be much, much more transparent. But learning how to read the signs of deception and learning how to ask the right questions, it's far more effective and it's a lot nicer.
Well, I'm not sure that I want to know all that much unless I have a really duplicitous loved one, because the alternative is to constantly be catching people in those lies, and that can just lead to a very bad relationship.
Well, you know, I don't think that it's really about scanning somebody for deception. If you learn the basic method, the first part of it, for example, which is baselining someone, which means just getting to know them and understanding their standard normal form of behavior, how long they laugh, what their breathing rate is like, what their posture is like. What you're really doing is encouraging people to listen without making judgments and to look for objective information. And if you get into the habit of doing that, in a way you end up listening better to people. You end up with a trusted coterie of advisors around you. You end up much less paranoid than you would otherwise.
So breathing rate is important.
Breathing
you
rate,
mentioned raised eyebrows.
Posture.
Asymmetry.
Blink rate.
A lot of blinking would suggest that a person is lying. Why?
A shift in blink rate would suggest that someone is lying because the cognitive load on their body is so significant when they're trying to make up what it is that they're saying that they'll freeze their body or they'll start blinking their eyes. They're processing information.
And as you said, we would assume that people would look away a lot because they're uncomfortable about lying. But it turns out that they wind up looking you in the eye a lot more because they want to convince you that they're telling the truth.
They overcompensate. They subscribe to myths. One of the things that I teach people to look out for is an expression of contempt, because that's one of the easiest emotions to recognize, and it often is paired with deception. Contempt is an asymmetrical expression. You'll see you can download any photo of Bill Maher on the internet, and you can see contempt. Or if
he always looks like he's smelling something bad.
But it's a sneer. It's a superior sneer. And someone's dismissed you when they're expressing contempt. It's quite dangerous.
So that's not something that I should try to do, although it worked well for Elvis, right?
Run when you see it.
When people find out that you do know these things, did they become uneasy?
No, because it really matters why you want to detect deception. If you're detecting deception to get to the truth and you're really someone who believes in truth and believes in authenticity and believes in building a small circle of trust around you, you end up with a group of people around you that really care and that really help you.
You are the founder and CEO of Simpatico Networks, which is a private label social networking company. A lot of people meet online these days, and we assume that what they're saying about themselves is just filled with lies, or else everybody in the world loves to have walks on the beach and travel to strange places.
Well, there's a term. Are those AOL inches or are those real inches? So we all know that people lie in their profiles all the time.
And we should just assume in some cases that people are lying?
Yes, I think you should be very, very careful online and get to know somebody personally before you have any kind of interaction with them.
Pamela Meyer's book is called Lie Spotting, Proven Techniques to Detect Deception. It's published by St. Martin's Press. Thank you so much for being with us. No lie.